Be here. So last week, for those of you that were here, we talked about knowing Jesus and who is Jesus. And I gave you a challenge to pray each day. Jesus, help me to know you, to experientially know you, and to make me one as you, God, are one. And so I just want to start with, did anyone see God this week? Who has a story of what God did? Remember, this was one of the verses that has been kind of a theme verse for this summer of they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. So the blood of the Lamb, that's been taken care of. But it's as we testify and we speak out how we've seen Jesus at work in our lives, that we overcome the enemy. So this morning, I know there's testimonies from this week. I know there's testimonies from Bible school. So let's hear a few of them. Who has a testimony? I actually know there's one that was planning to share later. Do you want to share now? No? Okay. Clive, what did God do in your life this week? So for those that maybe didn't know, Clive was facing a very serious medical situation this past week. And this very time last week, he was in the hospital. And we prayed, a lot of you prayed for Clive. And God's been bringing healing. He's still healing. He's no longer contagious. And God's literally healing his blood. So yeah, praise God. Who else? Who experienced Jesus this week? Miss Helen. That was just in the first and second graders class. We had, it was one of the larger classes, but yeah, four kids gave their hearts to Jesus. In the middle group, the third and fourth graders were there. I think there was there someone in that group that gave their heart to Jesus? No? Okay. And the older group, where's Reese? How many did we have in the older group? Three. Yeah. So three different. We had around 30 some. I don't know if Sarah has a final count of how many kids we had. So 38 some kids. We had four plus three is seven. So two out or one out of five kids roughly gave their lives to Jesus through Bible school this week. That's a big deal, you guys. Go ahead, Jane.
And she's brought a friend. She brought a friend.
Yeah, so Olivia was one of the three in the older group. And you guys, she was like one of the most eager, one of the most excited participants all week long. I think you mentioned that she's blind. And so even during the songs, I think the first day, Lisa Corcoran was kind of describing some of the motions to her. And then throughout the week, she was doing the motions the best way that she knew. She'd never seen the motions, but she was dancing with all the rest of us. This is a family that I'm under the understanding that they're not really a church attending family. And so Olivia gave her life to Jesus, and so did her younger sister Annie. She was one of the four in the younger kids group. So, yeah. Who else experienced Jesus this week? Grammy, Pat? Yeah. Thank you for sharing. So we've heard how God's a healer, from Clive. We've heard how he gives joy and even sight through dreams to the blind from Miss Jane, how he makes people's hearts new again from the at least seven different kids. We hear how he takes us on adventures from Pat, and he pursues us, right? Anyone else experience Jesus this week, Reese?
told us that there's a bacteria in his blood, and they were pumping him full of antibiotics from like the day before. We thought we were just gonna go in and get a, you know, prescription of oral antibiotics so his wound will heal, right? And the nurse looks at my wife the second morning because they knew that there was a bacteria, but they didn't know what it was. And then the nurse looks at my wife and she says, "It's MRSA." And they're like crying, right? MRSA is not a death sentence. And she just goes, "Oh, mom," you know, kind of thing. And then we just ask people to pray, right? And people, you know, like we were hoping to, you know, have the nurses and doctors see Jesus in this young man, you know, and through us. And I kind of towards the end, and he was healing after, you know, 3 or 4 days being confined in the hospital. When he says the word entertained, it was very interesting. You stick a 16-year-old who is very active and outdoors in a hospital room, and told he can't go anywhere except maybe the halls. That's kind of entertaining itself, right? It's like good luck, right? So, but when people turn around and say, "Well, see, he healed. Yeah, the medicine works, the antibiotic worked, and he was such a, you know, healthy young man. Of course, he was gonna." No. Healthy people die too, right? Not just sick, unhealthy people.
Yeah.
And we choose to believe that God met the need of healing for this young man.
Yeah.
People prayed, and they, you know, and God used them those prayers to help heal, provide healing. And I think that's what I saw, is that God provided healing for BBS, right, or for those children. They need Jesus. Jesus is the remedy for the corruption and the catastrophe and confusion in our lives, right? And he provided missionaries, and he provided the church to tell these people, these children, about his love for them. So I think he's a God who provides. And I think sometimes people overlook how he provides. Even like what Brother Yudin said this morning, even the breath in our lungs in the morning.
So true. You know, I also heard many stories about Clive while he was in the hospital and the different nurses coming, some of which were visibly nervous about taking his blood. And I heard what Clive did and what Clive said, and he was encouraging to them. And he said, "It's okay. You know, go ahead. You're fine. You're doing great." And those that know Clive know that that's right on par for how encouraging he is. But that's a reflection of who? It's a reflection of Jesus. Jesus is the great encourager. Yeah. Who else experienced Jesus this week? Don't miss your opportunity to share it. Miss Helene.
Thank you. was a whole team of white t-shirts and shorts standing there. When they did not open, when the car door was open, so then can they pulled open the door, they put that other team out. That team was gone at the 15 hours.
Wow. Praise God.
I said, did you just see the miracle God did? I'm telling everybody, God did this miracle. Do you see what he just did? And so, anyway, it was, they couldn't shut me out.
Wow. Praise God. So not only these other things we've heard, but he also takes what the enemy meant for evil, like a car accident, and turns it for good. Miss Helene's had opportunity to tell numerous people about how God protected her through that. Yeah. Anybody else experienced Jesus this week and want to share it? You will have opportunity again. So, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This morning, I felt led to share my testimony in part. So I grew up going to church in a church that was very similar to this one. It was my grandfather's church, and grew up going to Sunday school every week. Grew up learning memory verses and getting prizes for knowing the most verses and things. And it was a sweet time. However, for me as a young kid, I know that I heard the truth, but my brain just it didn't quite connect. And so for a large part of my life, I saw Christianity as just a bunch of rules that we had to follow, things we had to do and things we weren't supposed to do. And so I attempted by my own strength to do that. I did give Jesus my heart as a young child, pretty much every year at Vacation Bible School. And I believe that that was sincere. Some people say, well, I don't think I meant it, but I do. I think I meant it. And as I got a little older, got into middle school and things, I started being two different people. I knew that I was supposed to be kind and that I was supposed to be respectful. And, you know, I knew all the rules I was supposed to follow and go to church. And so I did those when I was around my family, when I was at church, and when I was at school around my friends. I was a completely different kid. I used foul language more than not foul language. Of course, not around the teachers, because then you would get caught and the whole gig would be up, right? And making inappropriate jokes just in hopes of getting a laugh or something. Just trying to get my value and my worth from other people. I played sports, and I was pretty good at the sports I played. I started in football. I was one of the lead wrestlers on our wrestling team. I also got pretty good grades, pretty much straight A's across the board at that point. But like I said, I was finding my value in what people thought. If I didn't hear good job, then I didn't think I'd done a good job. And as I continued into middle school, some of those things started to unravel. I got to seventh grade and was no longer starting on the football team. I had done that for 6 years, from first grade through sixth grade, which as an adult, it seems a little silly to be like, yeah, I started football in first grade. Man, like, I was so good. But in my little first grade brain, that was a big deal. And it really did affect my life and my view of the world. And so I don't think we should minimize it. But I get to seventh grade and suddenly I'm not starting on the football team. I pretty much rode the bench all of seventh and eighth grade year. The sport that I once absolutely loved, I didn't want to play anymore. And I get to eighth grade year and there was a point where I got an F on a report card. And my mom being a school teacher, that was an especially big deal. And it was the very last report card of the year. And as a lot of schools do, we had like an eighth grade formal dance and she wasn't going to let me go. And we did some digging and found out that it was in part because my teacher had lost some of my work, or, well, she had graded it, but didn't put the grades in the book. So, my grade wasn't actually that bad, but for a moment I thought that it was. And I definitely had not been applying myself the way that I could. And so that kind of began a time period where I wasn't getting worth from people because I wasn't doing, you know, I wasn't excelling or what I thought was excelling. And so I began to compare myself to other people and all kinds of things. Anything that I was remotely good at, I would literally sit and think through things that I was good at. But then I would think of who was better than me at that thing. And every single thing that I thought of, I had someone that I could tell you was better at it than I was. And yeah, at the same time, you know, some people, their story and their coming to Jesus moment is a real clear cut. This is when I accepted Jesus and everything changed and it was all better. My story wasn't quite that way. I had those moments, those stake in the ground moments, but it was a process all along. When I was in the sixth grade, so before some of these things happened, I had decided that I wanted to rededicate my life to Jesus at a youth conference. And yeah, we were at Acquire the Fire, it was called, and they invited, you know, this, we were in Pittsburgh at the, I don't know, one of the professional sports team stadiums. And the people just flooded out of the stands down to the floor. And they had these giant white crosses. And I felt Holy Spirit tugging on my heart. And I was like, no, I've given my life to Jesus. That's, you know, I've done that. And then they said, if anyone wants to rededicate their lives to Jesus, would you stand up? And the floodgates broke. And I stood up and I said right then, yes, I want to live for you, Jesus. And my dad and my older brother stood up on each side of me and we cried and we praised the Lord. And so it was at that point that I wanted to live for Jesus, but I was kind of stuck in that Romans 7 place where I knew what I ought to do, but that wasn't what I did. I did everything contrary to that, despite my best efforts. And it was later towards eighth and ninth grade that God really started showing me that I was still seeing Christianity as kind of a religion and wanting to live life for Jesus. And I say to all of you this morning, I hope that none of you live for Jesus. I hope you live with him. We talk about living for Jesus, which is a noble thing to want to do, but that's not even what he wants. He wants us to live with him. And that's the main point of the message this morning, is to live life with Jesus. And so I began to understand what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I started attending a community youth group that was ran by Youth with a Mission, the group that I'm now a full-time missionary with. We have five people that will join us next week that are going to help us run the camp that we're doing. one of which is our director of our ministry. And I remember being in eighth grade, and we crowded into their living room of their house every Monday night for youth group. And I remember hearing them tell stories about Jesus and about going on mission trips with Jesus and going and praying for people because they felt like God told them to. And if you'd asked me, does God speak? I probably would have said yes. But it wasn't until I started hearing those stories that I truly understood that God isn't just confined to the written words in here. By all means, he speaks through the Bible, absolutely. But this book here is living. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Word. And he speaks to us today. I finally began to understand what it means that Christianity is not just a religion, it's a relationship. That we can talk to Jesus and he talks back to us. And at that youth group, they began to teach us practically how to hear the voice of God. And I'm telling you, that has changed everything. If that's a foreign concept to you, man, let's talk. Let's talk about what it means to hear God's voice. We'll talk about it some this morning, but yeah. And so I asked Jesus, I came to know that God had a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." And so as I was nearing the end of high school, I was asking God, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" Because I knew that while I could come up with some good plans, none of them would be the best plan. Only he had the best plan. And that's what I wanted, was God's best plan for my life. And I remember I had already graduated. I had a couple of different options I was considering. And I still didn't know for sure what I was going to do. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to fast and pray until God tells me what to do. And I want to say it was a while that I was fasting and praying. And I took my break time from my job. And I went out to my car and felt like God said to look up Jeremiah 29:11, to which I said, "God, I know what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I can quote it." He said, "Well, just look it up." Well, turns out I'd never looked it up before. I'd never read the context or what else was near it. Turns out that was Jeremiah was writing a letter to God's people about their captivity. And he said, "When you go and marry, live your life." And then it comes down to verse 11. I'm very much so paraphrasing. And he says about the plans he has for us. And he says, "And then you will call to me and you will pray and you will seek me when you seek me with your whole heart." It's verses 12 and 13. And in that moment, without a shadow of a doubt, I knew that I was supposed to go do discipleship training school. It's the 5-month course that's the first thing that you do in Youth with a Mission. He wanted me to go to missionary training school. And so that's what I did. I went to missionary training school, and it was in that season that God really set me free from comparing myself to other people. Because even as a senior in high school, I would do where I would think of the things I was good at and then think of someone else that was better. But God showed me that I'm his son. And he showed me that there's one thing that I'm absolutely the best at, that none of you can even come close. I hate to break it to you. There is one thing that I can do better than anyone else in this room. And that's be Jake. Each one of you is the best at something. I think you can guess what it is. I remember hearing, and it was mind-blowing. It was a light bulb moment for me. The person was talking from Psalm 139, where it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knit us together in our mother's womb. And someone said, "Do you know that the things that God put in you are just as intentional as the things that he didn't. He didn't mess up. He didn't leave anything out. When he created you the way he wanted to, because he always wanted a son just like me. And that's true of each one of you. And so as I completed my missionary training schools, I felt like God wanted me to go home. I'm from Keyser, West Virginia, where my wife and I are from, and Joel and April live there too, and to work at a local business that was a pallet remanufacturing place, which was absolutely the last place one in Keyser would apply to work at. And it was the first place that I applied because that's where God said to go. And I worked there for 2 years, and the brokenness and the addiction that I saw in that place, people that struggled with alcoholism, people that, you know, they would come and they would work there for however much time to be able to go buy their next fix, and then they would quit. And because there was a 6-month turnaround time, if you quit or got fired, you couldn't reapply for 6 months. They would go to this other, it was a chicken processing place, and they would work there, do the same thing. And 6 months later, they would come back to the pallet place, and they would just live this cycle. And so there were people that I would see start day one, and then 6-7 months later, here they are day one again. And it was while I was there that God began to speak to me several of the things that I'm going to share this morning. And towards the end of that time, I felt like God said, okay, now is the time to go full-time back into missions. And so that's what I did. In August 2015, I full-time joined staff with Youth with a Mission, and almost 10 years ago now. It's crazy. I've been to 11 different countries now with Jesus. It's amazing the adventures you get to go on when you do life with Jesus. It doesn't just stop with chasing people down in your car to give them a Bible. The number of people that I've met and heard them, their testimonies of being healing, I've lost count. People that I've heard about having dreams, both ways. I've heard of people having dreams that were absolutely influenced by the enemy, and we prayed and we broke off those dreams, and they didn't have those dreams anymore. But then we've also heard dreams of people that encountered Jesus in miraculous ways. I never could have imagined a more beautiful life and a more beautiful story than I've lived. I've met my wonderful wife because I said yes to God's plan. If I had done my own thing and become an engineer or a teacher or any one of the other things I considered, I probably never would have met Chloe. I never would have met all of you. But I chose God's best plan, and I hope that each one of you will as well. So, what are we here for? Why are we here on the earth? This week for Vacation Bible School, we had 7 C's. They're over here, conveniently. And it starts at the kind of the bottom left. It was creation. And these are the 7 C's of history, kind of like the 7 C's of the world. And every day we would go jump in our Jungle Cruise boat and go to another one of the 7 C's, some days 2 of them, the 7 C's of history. So we started with creation, which is what we're going to talk about in a second. And then we went to corruption, where Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and the fall of man took place. To catastrophe, where God reset the world with a global flood. To confusion at the Tower of Babel, where he scrambled the languages because people, again, weren't obeying God. They didn't fill the earth like they were supposed to. And then we skipped a huge chunk of history and went to where Jesus comes onto the scene. We talked about the cross and what Jesus did. And then finally, consummation. We haven't gotten to that part of history yet. That's where Jesus comes back and creates the new heaven and the new earth and all of those things. But at creation, what are we here for? I think the creation story gives us a really great picture of why we're here. There are 3 things in the creation story that I'm just going to tell you. It could be a whole sermon of itself. But from Genesis chapter 1, I believe we can pull out three reasons that why as human beings we're here. The first one is to bear his image. We were created in his image. The second one is to fill and steward the earth. He said, go, fill, multiply, and steward the earth. And then the third one was for relationship with God. Because in the cool of the evening, God came looking to walk with Adam. And unfortunately, in the Genesis story, we find out that Adam was hiding at that point. So we're created for relationship, to fill and to steward, and to bear his image, to look like him. We do that by living with him. You know, if it was just about becoming saved, getting our sins forgiven, and going to heaven with Jesus, then we would lead people in the sinner's prayer, and then we would promptly execute them because there's no reason for them to be here, right? And let's just skip to the end part. But that's not what God commands us to do, because he has a purpose for us to be here, and it's to fill the earth for relationship with him here amidst the brokenness and to bear his image. And so I have a quote for you. The enemy knows that we can be saved and on our way to eternity with Jesus, but if he can get us to think wrong, our effectiveness here on the earth is greatly diminished. And I believe most, if not all of us, have given our lives to Jesus, have experienced this at some moment or another, perhaps for many seasons of our lives. Today, what I share is not to bring sorrow or condemnation, but to invite each of us to greater things in Christ. To each of us that have given our hearts to Jesus, we will spend eternity in the kingdom, and that is good. However, God has so much more for us than that. You know, last week, during Bible school, many times I said to the kids, why is heaven so great? And usually they would just kind of be quiet and wait for the answer. I'd say, it's because that's where Jesus is. You know, the other things are good, but it's because that's where Jesus is that that's why we want to go there. And we don't have to wait till then. Eternal life, the abundant life that we talked about last week, it starts now. It started the moment you were born. And the moment that you say yes to walking your life with him now, giving him your life, you experience this. You know, the moment that you said, yes, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you came, lived a perfect life, died and rose again, broke the power of sin and death. And I confess that you are Lord. I make you the boss of my life. When we do that and we enter into the marriage to Christ, that's just the beginning. You know, the best stories in life don't start once upon a time, everything was great, and they lived happily ever after. If you went to a movie and that was the plot of the movie, you'd be, you know, irritated. You'd feel ripped off. The best stories have brokenness in them. And I believe that that's because the story, God's story, his story, it's because it reflects that. There's brokenness in our world. And amidst that brokenness, when you go to the movie theaters and you watch a few previews and think, oh yeah, that one's good. You run out of popcorn too soon. And they turn the lights down low, and then the movie comes on. And the light is magnified because of that darkness. The light, we appreciate the light more after we've seen the darkness, don't we? And so, while this life is difficult and challenging, we get to experience Jesus in it. One day we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven and doing all kinds of marvelous things. And we'll be able to sit around. You know, the other night we had a campfire and we shared stories about what God did during Bible school. And we're going to be able to share stories of how, despite the brokenness, despite MRSA, despite car accidents, despite people running away when we're trying to talk to him. God was still good. We got to experience him in it. And that's what I want to talk about. The key to marriage is communication. It's we share, we speak to God and he speaks back with us. So I want to take a look at some scriptures. Starting in the book of Ephesians. I can get my... Here we go. I have a lot of scriptures today. I hope that's okay. Which, actually, I guess I took longer than I thought. Well, join me for a second as we pray. Jesus, you see what time it is. And God, you know that I have a lot more prepared to say. But Jesus, what do you want us to say this morning? Okay, so you'll have to come back next week to hear a lot of this. But I want to challenge you to sit with Jesus this week. Sometimes we get ourselves as Christians in trouble because we try and earn all of those things. We try to earn our acceptance and our worth, like I talked about. But Jesus gives that to us. He paid that price. And as we start from a position of being seated in him, that is when we're able to give to the world. This morning, the final challenge that I want to give to you all is to abide in him. John chapter 15 talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches. And I want you to, throughout this week, abide in Christ. And there's a tool that we often teach our youth kids to perhaps use. You can take it or leave it. But what you can do to, because God is omnipresent. He's with us all the time. We always have access to him. And really, it's a matter of us training ourselves to be aware of that. And so we tell the kids, get a penny. It's one of the cheapest tools you can use for this. Get a penny and put it in your shoe. And, a penny, it's not necessarily going to be the most comfortable thing, but also it's most people, it's not going to totally throw them off. But every once in a while, or maybe quite frequently, you will become aware of that penny. And you might go about your day and forget about it for a bit. But every time that you notice that penny, just ask. Say, hey, God, how's it going? Is there anything you want to speak to me right now? Is there anyone you want me to go speak to on your behalf? Is there anyone I should pray for right now? And that's what I want to challenge you to do this week. If it's not a penny in your shoe, you could, some people, their watch, you can set it to go off on the hour. Perhaps you set alarms on your phone. I know people that have done that. But have it go off every so often. And every time that it does, remind yourself, I'm living with Jesus. I can talk to him right now. Ask him, is there anyone you want me to pray for? And then be obedient. That simple phrase, can I pray for you? I have many stories that I had planned to share this morning about what it looks like to be obedient to Jesus and just go offer to pray. What's the worst that someone can say? No. Don't pray for me. Get out of my face, So just ask them to pray. And if they say yes, you can ask them, well, what can I pray for? And if they give you something, pray for that. But also listen to God, and whatever he tells you to pray for, pray for it. And here's a good one. If someone says no to prayer, just pray for them after they leave. Okay? I wish we had more time, but we also have these bracelets that we brought with us that say, Jesus loves you. They're downstairs. We'll have to grab them, but our intent is to give these away as God leads. So if you feel led to grab some of those, maybe that's something God will have you do this week, is just tell someone, Jesus loves you. right where you're at. Jesus loves you. And just do it. And maybe that's it. And you just move on with your day. Or maybe he opens up the conversation further. Live life with him. It's what we were created for. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you're never far away. You never leave us. You never abandon us. We have constant access to you. Even when we're grumpy and in a complaining, grouchy mood, Jesus, you still want to hear from us. You still give us the time of day. You never get put out or irritated by us, or you never say, oh, can you just give me a minute to myself? Jesus, you love us so much. God, we want to continue to experience you and know you. God, I pray that we have even more stories next week of how we've experienced you. God, and I pray that you would give us opportunity this week to share that with someone else. God, would you highlight to us the people that we can ask, hey, can I pray for you? God, would you make it second nature to us to be in constant communication with you, asking you if there's anything you want to say to us, anything you want us to say to someone else. And God, give us the boldness to step out in faith and just see the adventures that you're going to take us on. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know you, that you make yourself known. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.